Photography lovers, and welcome to another episode of the Fashion Photography Podcast, the show where we talk with some of the best creatives in the industry. My name is Virginia, and today we're here because it's time for part two of our conversation with the amazing photographer Andreas Ortner. And I know how much you loved part one because the Instagram of the show was bombed with messages. And I really love that. I love when you're giving us guys your feedback. It's super amazing and we really appreciate it, so keep them coming. And if you're a true fan and you think that our show is awesome in general and you would like to support it, go to patreon.com/photographypodcast and take a look at all the awesome goodies we've prepared for you. Again, patreon.com/photographypodcast. So I also know that you're super impatient for the second part of the conversation. I just want to tell you that today we're answering questions like, can you make a living as a photographer? I know you've been waiting for this one. Also, what are the ways to sell your photography? It's an important one. We also talk about contracts, magazines, rides, big opportunities, and how to grab them. And of course, we are answering some of the questions that you asked in our Facebook group called the Fashion Photography Podcast. And in case you're not part of it yet, join it, because there sometimes you get the opportunity to ask our future guests your questions. I bet you cannot wait for this interview to start, so let's go. Is it possible to make a living by being a fashion photographer?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be sitting here. I made a living with my photography from the beginning on. The way it happened and the way I bought my first equipment and the way I was convinced this is the way I want to go was that since it worked out with shooting the models for my agency for the composite cards, my booker and also other agencies in New York, they offered me $400 to $600 for each model I shot. And sometimes I shot 2-3 models a day and cash came coming in. That submission work I did for the models gave me enough money to lean back and have the freedom to concentrate on my own projects. And that was the best thing to do, to learn, like shooting every day, shooting different people every day, shooting models every day. That was such a learning process for me because the agencies always told me, oh, we want this. Oh, we want that style. Oh, we want studio for this girl. So I had to do it all. I had to try it all. And I learned everything by doing when it comes to photography. I started making money right away with those modeling tests. And then I went back to Europe and got my first client. I got my second client. And it started building up quite fast. I didn't make that much money in the beginning, but it got more and more. And I think as a fashion photographer, you can make a lot of money. There is some fashion photographers out there to make millions, have houses in Ibiza, penthouse in New York. I know some of them. You can make a good living if you have to set up the infrastructure around you. I mean, I have my own team. I have my own studio where I make money with, which I rent out to other photographers. I have the retouching company. Where's money coming in? I invested some of my money into real estate that is rented out. I'm having money coming in. Also, Trunk Archive Agency in New York is selling pictures that I did almost every day. So this is an income point. So yes, it works out quite well, and I'm knocking on wood. I'm very pleased and very happy that I can live off my photography and still love what I do and make money out of it.
I'm very happy you're predicting my question so well. Because my next question was going to be about licensing images. So how did you make this decision and would you recommend it to other photographers?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Were there any restrictions that you were concerned about at the beginning?
Yeah, it's not that easy as it seems. You not just go out there and sell your pictures. There's a lot of factors involved in that. First of all, I want to say it makes me really sad that a lot of photographers do beautiful pictures. You put it in a drawer because it didn't get published and nobody sees them ever again. They're gone.
Yeah.
Licensing your pictures, you have the chance to even your unpublished pictures get published after a while, which is a beautiful thing to show your work out there, even though it didn't get published right away. Also your free work. It's a great thing. The only problem is not every picture you do, you can publish because there's like all the magazines, they let you sign big contracts about rights and image rights and how long they want it. But there was an interesting scenario I want to tell you in a second. But yeah, like I said, there's a lot of rights involved. Also, when my agent in New York calls me and said, Andreas, we want to sell your story to LUS, then we always have to ask the model for permission. Yeah. She gets a buyout. I have to see if the pictures are free, if they are available, how long the rights were bought by the other magazine it got published for. And so it's a lot of factors that my agent is checking for me. And then only after that is clear, we can sell them. But when they're sold, you make money out of them. That's a beautiful thing. And that happened to me, actually, the other day. I shot a cover with a very famous celebrity in Germany for Cosmopolitan. She is an influencer, a blogger, and a TV host in Germany, quite famous. Her name is Lena Gerke. We shot this cover for Cosmo. I never showed it on Instagram. It's Cosmopolitan. It's a little commercial, but not to forget, Cosmopolitan is one of the biggest brands in the fashion industry worldwide.
Absolutely.
Really, really big. And then I got a call from L'Oreal Worldwide, and he said, Andreas, we saw your cover you shot with Lena. She is the face of our L'Oreal European campaign, but unfortunately, she doesn't have time to shoot the campaign. But we saw your pictures. We would love to buy your pictures for the new campaign. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. This is wonderful, best ever. But I told him right away, listen, guys, I have to clear the rights. I cannot guarantee you. I have to make sure it's possible. So I called the head editor at Cosmopolitan. I told her, listen, L'Oreal wants to buy the cover pictures from Lena for the campaign. They're willing to pay a lot of money. And they said, first of all, no, it's not possible.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not possible. We have the rights for 6 months. You cannot sell them. And it took me like 3 days to convince them and their publishing house to sell those pictures. I share the income with them, so they also have a profit.
Yeah.
And we managed to sell those pictures, and the campaign comes out in September.
Yay! That's so cool. Congrats. So
I really worked on it.
Super nice.
Yes. But this is how it is with rights. Lots of people that start photography didn't even know it. And you see a lot of published pictures where the model wasn't asked if it's okay to publish it. And it's a very important part of photography to make sure you know what the rights are, what your rights as a photographer are. And don't even fuck around with the agencies and just publish something without the permission of the agent or of the model, because that falls back on you. The agencies, they remember that. And at the next casting you do, they don't give you as good as a model as you want.
Absolutely. Even if you don't tag them on Instagram, like for just 5 minutes, if you are doing something and you haven't tagged anyone, if they see it before you've done the tagging, they're going to be so mad. So even if for something so simple. Yeah.
I've got mean messages because of that, because I forgot to tag someone, a makeup artist or something.
You see?
I got unfollowed on Instagram from things like that.
Well, okay. It's a serious thing. So you did this big step. I'm very, very happy for you and for the campaign that it's coming up, which is so amazing. And I wanted to ask you whether you've worked with magazines before you had your own agent.
I worked with magazines before I had my own agent, and I was doing really well. I mean, lots of people out there in the industry might ask themselves, how is it possible to get an agent? I would love to have an agent. I would love to get in one of those big photography agencies. To be honest, it's not easy. Photographer has been one of the most admired jobs in the last 5 years. Lots of young people want to become a photographer, and there are so many out there. That my agency, they get like 100 emails every day from people that, you know, introduce their works or introduce themselves. When I started looking for an agency, I made the decision to do so to get my name out there to clients that I didn't have. I could have worked without an agent still until now and be successful and do my thing, but it's an image thing for me. That was the right step to do, because my agency in Europe is a very strong one. They are known by every big client. To be on their website, it's an image thing. To be on their website, especially with such other good photographers. When I started to aim for an agency, I sent out emails to so many agents out there, and I hardly didn't get an email back. Mm. So I was like, okay, something wrong with my photography. What's the problem?
How many years ago?
That was about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was kind of getting depressed about it. I didn't understand what I do wrong or what's going on. And then I went directly to this agent in Paris. I just popped in without an appointment, without anything. And
oh, you're brave.
It's just like, I just do it. And I went in there and she, at the time, her name was Anke, she told me, hey, Andreas, I saw your work, really love it. We have to always consider once a month if you take a new photographer or not. You were always on our table. We were following your career since about 5 years now.
Wow.
Really what you do. We just didn't have the chance. We were so busy. We didn't have the chance to write you back or anything. This is how it is. People are busy. They're working hard. They're looking out for new talents. They're watching new talents over a long period of time. And when it's the right time, mostly the agents are the ones that contact the artist, not the other way around. This is how it works.
Yeah, that was the reason why I asked you whether you were working with magazines before you had an agent. Were the papers that you signed with the magazines a little bit different then than now when you have an agent?
It's not, most of the magazines, it didn't even have something like a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first magazine I worked with was Ocean Drive magazine in Miami, and they flew me in from New York for a cover story. I think I shot it with one celebrity. There was no contract. There was nothing, no rights involved, nothing. And all the other magazines I worked with 5, 6 years ago, they didn't have contracts. And now these days, the publishing houses, they want to make a bigger profit. So they want to give you a contract where they have the rights for 1 year and also the rights to publish your images in some other magazines, basically sell your images to other publications.
Yeah.
You have to be really careful. And thank God I have an agent that looks over every contract and doesn't sign it unless it's changed in a way that we can live with it.
So you have this covered, which is super amazing. You said that you started with model tests. Do you have like a recipe for the best model test for the people who are doing this now?
Oh, yeah. You know how I did it? I went to the agency, their booker, they showed me exactly what they wanted. And mostly they showed Vogue magazine, Harper's Bazaar, like the most amazing pictures.
For the test. Awesome.
Yes. Shoot our newcomer model just like Gigi Hadid in his new Vogue cover because she looks like her. And I'm like, sure. And I do it. I basically had a tear sheet in front of me and I was figuring out, so how is the light done? What do I have to do to get this look, to achieve this result? And this is how I did it. Since I didn't go to a photography school, since I didn't learn the techniques in an accurate way, for me, there were no rules when it comes to photography, which is great.
It is.
I started shooting with the weirdest lamps, with flashlights, with natural light, with halogen light, like with everything available that was in my apartment in New York. Everything had to be cheap. Everything available I took. And like this, there is no technical boundary. There is no limit. You can think outside of the box and there is no rules that you have to follow. You just do what you have in mind. You just do what you think is right for yourself and you just create your own workflow by doing whatever you want to do.
Gorgeous advice. Let's talk a little bit about failures because I'm sure your path wasn't just super smooth and super nice. Were there a moment in your life when you were thinking whether you're going to make it in this industry?
Since I'm a very humble person, I was never concerned. I never had the thought of, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it there and here? I was always concentrated on the here and now. That fear of the future, if I'm going to make it, was never really there, which is a good thing, I guess, because I was so concentrated on the projects I recently did that I try to do my best every single day when I woke up and give the best results, which weren't always the best, I have to say. I had some shootings I didn't like at all, especially when I look at them right now, years later. But from everything you do, even if it's not that nice, you learn. And this learning process is very important in the business, especially if you do it over so many years as I do. You need failures to learn out of them and to actually become stronger, not do the same mistakes again, and evolve.
Nice.
The biggest mistake I've ever done or I used to do is listen too much to the others, listen too much to the team, listen too much to the makeup artist, listen too much to the stylist, listen too much to the editor, because you have a vision. And if you listen too much to other people, you don't exactly do what you're supposed to do. You lose your own inspiration, you lose your own focus, your own style. And first of all, these people, they book you because they like your style, and then they're trying to change it in a way that they want it, which is not good. It doesn't work out like this. Focus on what you want to do.
Kim Fisher asked the other day how you can make your reality check. And especially in your case now, it's kind of easier because you can see the publications, you can see the feedback from the people and the reactions. But if you were a new photographer coming to the industry right now, it's very hard to make your reality check. Do you have any advices?
Yeah, just look at the newest magazines. Just look at Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Elle, L'Officiel, all the big fashion magazines, and see what is beautiful. See what is good work. See what gets published and what doesn't get published. And then look at your own pictures. And if your pictures are so much off of what you see these days out there in the magazines, then you're wrong. You might be right for yourself, and you might be an artist, and this is exactly what you want. But the question is, where do you want to go with your work? Do you want to become successful as a fashion photographer? Then you have to follow the rules of fashion and go where the trend is. There's lots of photographers out there that say, oh, I have to go to London because in Paris, they just don't understand my style. It's too artificial. Or I keep faithful to my style because it's so much more modern than whatever you see in Vogue and Elle. But it's not true. We have to understand that those big magazines are trendsetters. They work with the biggest and best photographers, and they give you the trends of tomorrow. So if you don't follow those trends, follow those styles, you're not going to make it as a fashion photographer.
Being a model first is a great advantage for you, I think, because now you know how to act with your team, and you've been on both sides of the industry, and you know what to look and what to focus on, which is very important. What is your advice to the people that just don't have the needed features for models, but they are really aiming at being great photographers, maybe for their interaction with the models?
Yeah, that was a huge opportunity for me to come out of the model industry, because even now, when I'm shooting with models, I show them physically what I want.
Yeah.
Showing them the pose I want, I'm positioning them. I have a good feeling about how to move. I can show them what exactly I want. You can show it to them on a picture as well, but I'm a very physical person. I'm moving a lot. So this is what I do, first of all. Second of all, I'm also very sensitive when it comes to my models. For me, it's very important there is a connection there between me and them. First of all, when they arrive, my team is super, super nice. They go there, welcome them. I want them to feel home. I want them to feel very warm, welcome, and very happy when they come in our studio. I'm not afraid of supermodels. I'm not afraid of celebrities. I go to every single one as I know them, and I make them feel good. And I try to find out about themselves, how they're doing, how is their mood. And yeah, as I said, I'm very sensitive when it comes to that. And I'm very personal with my models on set. So it gives me this special connection to them, which I think sometimes is visible on the pictures.
I think it's very obvious on the pictures. It's also obvious that you are kind of letting them to move a little bit more, yeah. Not posing them.
Sometimes when the client wants exactly a shot, then I do this shot, but after I have this shot, I do a freestyle kind of thing. I say, okay, we got the shot. Let's do whatever we want now. And then I let the model move crazy. Hair is flying. I change my angles. I lay down. I step on a chair, because out of the moments, the most beautiful pictures I've done happened. To capture a moment, you cannot place a model and let her stand there.
Yeah.
You need an energy there. You need a movement of the hair. You need an expression, an energy that you can only capture if there is something going on. That's why I love to walk around with my model, to walk around her, to let her move, not look in the camera, do whatever you want, show your personality, go crazy. This is exactly how life comes into a photo.
Absolutely. In the actual life, the way it's happening.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you would never accept on the set?
Attitude, simply. Too much attitude, but a bad attitude, you know, positive attitude. Yeah. Okay, but bad attitude towards me, towards my team, is not accepted in my studio. I treat my team very well. I treat everybody equal. Doesn't matter what position he has in the studio. Doesn't matter. Everybody deserves to be treated well. And it's very important for me that there is no attitude from whomever towards anybody of the team that is negative or bad. I want a positive vibe in the studio. I want everybody to go home happy with a good result. So I don't need people that are negative. And if they want to be negative, not in my studio.
I absolutely believe in that too.
Yeah.
Did Vogue change anything for you?
Yes, obviously it did. Definitely did. I think it changes the career of every photographer that ever has shot for Vogue before. It brings you as a photographer on a whole different level. It's the magazine that everybody wants to work for. It's the biggest achievement in your career as a photographer, I think, to shoot a cover for Vogue magazine. Not only because you get the best models for it.
Yeah.
Get the best team to work with. But a publication on the cover of Vogue magazine goes around the world and everybody knows you shot it. It gives you a whole different name in industry. And a good example is after I shot this cover with Barbara, mm-hmm. I called IMG Models, which I'm working with for 10 years. I called them in New York and whenever I asked them for good models, they gave me good models, but not top models.
Yeah.
So I shot this cover for Vogue. They offered me the crème de la crème of the models. That was amazing.
Well, you're in a different category now.
This is funny. It seems like the agencies have a list of photographers that get the best models, then the photographers that get the second best models, and then the photographers that get the beginners.
You know they do.
Oh, this is, you know how hard it is as a young photographer, and I talk to you guys out there that just start shooting or just in the beginning of your career. I know exactly how hard it is to get good girls to shoot with. Difficult, but work on it. You will get there.
Nice. What's the biggest difference for you ever since your name is so well recognized in the industry compared to the years before that?
Seriously, I'm so surprised myself. I don't even have the time to think about it. When Vogue came out, those little surprises with better models make me happy, but I don't really think about it every day. I have no idea how my name is known out there until the moment that people come up to me and say, hey, Andreas, we love your work. Keep on going. Or I get super nice handwritten letters or postcards from all over the world or emails. On Instagram, they write in a personal message that we're very inspired by your work. And that's the feedback that keeps me going because it tells me that people like what I'm doing. I love to hear that they are inspired by what I do and that I continue to give them inspiration. Not only with one picture, but with whatever I do. And it pushes me to keep going. It pushes me to do more things, more creative things, keep working on new projects. And this is a big part of what makes me happy in this job, the feedback of the people that appreciate my work.
Awesome. Tim Kofsky from the Facebook group is asking, what is the best piece of advice you would give to a photographer trying to make breakthrough in their career?
There's nothing I can tell you about this because you cannot predict a breakthrough. You'd never know if you can make it or not until it happens. It's so many factors to play along with. And also, what do you see as a breakthrough? What is your personal breakthrough in this business? Some of the photographers are super happy shooting 100 days of catalog a year and make a lot of money out of it. And they say, okay, I made it. I become rich. I'm shooting fashion. Some other photographers just want to shoot for the best editorial magazines. And it always depends what your personal breakthrough is considered. There's no guarantee you're ever going to make it as beautiful as your pictures are because there are so many factors involved in it. But a good tip is if you do beautiful pictures, promote them on every blog, on every social media platform there is. Shoot out your work so everybody can see it, as many people as possible can see it. And this is the only way of recognition your work gets these days when pictures are not published. If you're lucky, some important person in the industry, some editor of a nice magazine might see it. Then they consider working with you, consider shooting with you. They might contact you. And then that's the first step, you know, to get published, to give your work out there.
That's actually kind of connected to the very last question that just popped up into the Fashion Photography Podcast Facebook group from Arturo Laspinas, who is asking how to find and connect potential fashion clients.
Social media, it's a big platform, all the fashion blogs, fashioneditorials.com. A good tip is also models.com. If you shoot a beautiful editorial, make sure the brands you use in the editorial are well-known brands because no magazine, no blog is posting any pictures with clothes that are only from H&M or from an unknown brand. They want to show fashion in editorials. So make sure you have good brands in your editorial, in your spread, unless it's not getting published. It's one point. There's many magazines out there that are maybe not print, but just online magazines that have a big reach out there in the social media platforms. And this is maybe a start for you to publish your first stories. Little magazines, you can find them on Facebook, Instagram. There's so many of them. They give a chance to young photographers to publish their work. You don't have to pay for it. I mean, there's magazines where you even have to pay as a photographer to get your stuff published. Don't do that.
Oh, thank you for saying it.
Yeah, don't do that ever. If you get published in one of those magazines, they don't pay you, which is sad, I believe, because they make money out of it. But at least it's a way of publishing your work and get it seen by many people. Get your name around. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and that's the first step in order to get clients. Because first people need to know you and know about you and your existence. So great advice. I have one last question for you that I love, and unfortunately I don't ask it that often, but maybe this is going to change. If you were fresh out of school, aiming to be a fashion photographer in 2018, what would be your strategy?
I can answer you this question because I see from the people that were assisting me in the past 12 years how they did it. They came fresh out of school, started working in my studio with me as an assistant. And right now, one of them is working as the first assistant for Alexei Labomirsky. The other one works for Mario Testino. As soon as you come out of school, try to assist a good photographer. Or even more good photographers, assist as much as you can, because it not only teaches you photography in a different level, but also shows you how to deal with clients, how to work around the photography process, what is involved in it, because what you learn in school is good. It's very technical, but sometimes it has nothing to do with what you're facing in reality. It's so much more. And this is what you learn when you assist great photographers. So that's my tip. Do that. And if he's a good photographer, he also gives you the chance to do your own projects with his help. Do that for 3-4 years. Get as much experience you can. Learn how to act with the clients. And I think that's the best way to start before you do your own steps as your own photographer. You need that experience, I would say.
Well, I believe many, 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 many people are going to listen to this podcast and they won't be able to become your assistant, but at least they get the glimpse of you and a little bit of your amazing knowledge. Thank you so much for being our guest. It's super amazing to have you here.
Big pleasure.
That was super amazing conversation. Thank you so much for listening to us, guys. In case you have missed part one of this interview, you can find it on judithfashionmagazine.com and neverlandmag.com. And of course, also on our official website called photographypodcast.net. If you loved this interview, please leave us an honest review on Apple Podcasts because this is going to be of a great help for us. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to check all the social media of our guests in the show notes. And thank you guys so much for listening to us today. I'll see you this Friday.